humble for that wonderful song. May the Lord give us those kind of homes. You know, we can see across our country today the need for Christian homes. With all this going on, it just highlights how important it is for us as fathers to lead the way in our homes and let Christ be the center even of our least endeavor, like we heard in that song. This morning, I want you to take your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Last Sunday, we answered the question, what is the church? And you know, I said earlier, fathers, your greatest influence in the lives of your children is going to be your example. That's going to be the loudest voice. It's not what you say, but it's what you do. And our life of faithfulness to God, to His church, that is the greatest thing that we can give to our children, to our families. But as we asked the question last week, what is the church? We learned that it's more than what most people think it is. It's far more than an optional weekly meeting. It's more than a Sunday social club or a charity organization. It's much more than just a red brick building with a steeple on top. It's much more sacred to that than that, because Jesus is the founder and the foundation of the church. We learned last week that the church is Jesus' church. And that should just really help us to see how much we should value the church. It belongs to Jesus. And the church is Jesus' body. And He's the head of the church, which is His body, the Scripture tells us. And so we as His body, we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. You know, we're not to just keep Jesus in this building that we see here, that this physical building. We should reach out into our community and our neighborhood with the love of Jesus. We learned that the church is Jesus' building. It's His temple. We gather this morning to worship in His as a holy temple of God, because we are the habitation of God as a people of God. And we learn that the church is Jesus' bride. And what a precious thought that is, to think that we are to be faithful and pure and looking for our bridegroom to come for us. And so we ask, what is the church? This morning we're going to ask a different question. We're going to ask, what is the church supposed to be? What is the church supposed to be and do? You know, in a sense, we kind of answered that last week. What we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be Jesus' church. We're supposed to be Jesus' body, reaching out to a lost and dying world. We're supposed to be Jesus' building. As we gather together to worship and praise Him, we're supposed to be Jesus' bride, staying pure and faithful and set apart to Him. But what does it really look like to be Jesus' church? Well, I think the best way to answer that is to look at the church that Jesus started. And so we're going to look in verse 41 in Acts chapter 2 and read through verse 47. And we're going to try to answer this question, what is the church supposed to be and do? It says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Father, we thank You so much once again for this precious privilege we have to come before you and to worship you and to open your word and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, today to open our ears and our hearts to your word. And Lord, allow you to minister to us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in this passage, we're going to get to see what a Spirit-filled church looks like. You know, the context of this chapter that we are, these verses that we read in this chapter, they were gathered together in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. So here they are observing this Jewish feast at the temple. And it's on this day that the Holy Spirit of God comes upon His church, empowers His church. This is a very important day in church history, because this is when the church came to indwell the church, empower the church to be the witness that Jesus called them to be. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to see what the church looks like. We're going to see the church in action. And so we'll be able to see what we should be as a Spirit-filled church of Jesus Christ. And there are five things that I found in this passage that I believe that this church that Jesus started were intently devoted to. And we're going to look at these one a week, because I don't want to attempt to cover them all in one day, because they're so very, very important. Because if we really want to be the church that Jesus intended us to be, we really need to grab hold of these things that we see here in this passage. And, you know, I was just thinking as I read this morning this passage again, and I came to verse 47, and I love that last sentence, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And you know what struck me whenever I read that verse? You know what thought came to my mind? The thought was this, that if we would just focus as Jesus' church, if we just focus on being the church He intended us to be, He will add to His church. You know, it's funny how we today, we want to try to focus on how we can get more people in the doors. We want to focus on how we can fill these seats up. We want to focus, we use programs and all kinds of things to try to get people to come in. We are trying to add to Jesus' church without being the church. And you know, if we just focus on being the church Jesus intended us to be, guess what? It's going to be attractive, not to everybody, but it's going to be attractive to some, and the Lord will add to His church. You know, I was talking to a pastor this last week, and we were just talking and in general, and, you know, I had made a statement, you know, something like, you know, last couple of years, I told him, I said, we've had families come to our church, and they would come for a while, and they talked about how they loved the service, they loved the singing, they loved the preaching, and then they wouldn't come back, they wouldn't join, they'd go off somewhere else. I said, I don't know what it is, I can't put my finger on it. You know what he told me? And this is a retired pastor, and he's been in the ministry many, many years. He was a pastor's son, and so this man has a lot of wisdom. And he said, "Did you ever think that maybe they didn't need to be added to the church? Maybe the Lord didn't want to add them to your church." And I never thought about that. But it got me thinking, you know, we're so busy trying to add to the church when we need to just be the church. Be the church Jesus called us to be. And so what we're going to look at here this morning is the first one of those things that they were intently devoted to. But I want you to notice in verse 42, these first four words in that verse, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." Now, I want to just expound a little bit on that before we get to the topic, because, and they, what is they? Well, they is, here, this plural pronoun, it's speaking of the church, because it goes back to verse 41. They that gladly received His word were baptized the same day there were added unto them. So they is referring to the them. There's 3,000 people that were saved and baptized and added to them. Well, who is them? Well, in the context of verse 47, the Lord added to the church. It was the church. It was just assembly. And you know, we have in our mind this idea that the church is a building with a steeple on it. But they had no such thing. They were just an assembly of Jesus' church gathered here in Jerusalem at the temple doing what the church was supposed to do. They were being the church, and people were being added to the Lord. And what did the church do? What when people were added, what were they doing? It says they continued steadfastly. Now, I want to just kind of break down that the meaning of that just real quickly. And I was looking it up in the Mounce's Greek lexicon. And the word that Luke used here in this verse, and the idea is to attend constantly to something, or to intently be engaged in something, or to be intently devoted to some things. You know, those are some of the ideas that comes from this word that Luke used when he wrote this book of Acts. And out of those various definitions, they're all great, and they all are true and right. But the one that I really like the most out of all those expressions of the word that Luke used is intently devoted to. I like that, and I want you to think about that with me, because this was not just the church having an optional meeting. It wasn't just some routine thing that they were doing. It was something that they were intently devoted to. Now, the word intently, according to Webster's, it means with close attention or application, with eagerness or earnestness, as the mind intently directed to an object, the eyes intently fixed. Now, I want you to think of that idea of intently. Their eyes were intently fixed on some things. What they were doing here was with purpose. It wasn't just random. It was with purpose. They were intent. And the word devoted, according to Webster's, is appropriated by vow, solemnly set apart or dedicated, consecrated. Now listen to this next one. Addicted, given up in the sense of surrender. And so intently devoted, I want you to think about that. If you look at this, continuing steadfastly, that has such deep meaning when you go and you look at this passage. The meaning is that these people, they had heart in what they were doing. That word, that's why I like the word devoted, intently devoted, because that what they were doing here, they were doing it with heart. They were doing it with intention, with purpose. Their whole heart was in this. It wasn't just an optional routine, like I talked about last week. You know, it's just become some optional weekly meeting that we come to. That's not what church is to be. And it wasn't for this church that Jesus started. They were intently devoted to these things that we're going to look at with all their heart. They valued these things. And if we're going to be the church Jesus wants us to be, we need to value these things that we're going to look at. Fathers, you need to value these things in your family. And so what were they intently devoted to? Well, the first one we're going to look at, and we're going to look at today, is that first phrase, apostles' doctrine. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So we're going to look at this phrase, apostles' doctrine, means apostles' teaching, the apostles' instruction. Now, I want you to think about this with me. I've given this a lot of thought this past week, because initially I just thought of just it being just simply that, just being instruction and teaching. But I got to thinking and thinking this whole thing through, and I came to realize that these apostles here, they spent 3 years with Jesus. They walked with Him. They went from city to city, village to village, preaching. They camped out on the roadside with Jesus. You know, they would hear Him preach, and then at night they would sit around the campfire and they would ask Jesus questions. Jesus, well, what did that mean? We don't understand who is the sower? And in that. And what does it mean, the good ground and the thorny ground? And, you know, when he preached on the parables. And so they were sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus for 3 years. And so I want you to understand that based on that fact, and the fact that Jesus gave these 12 apostles the Great Commission that we all know in Matthew 28:18-20. Remember, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. So I want you to understand, here's the truth I want you to grab hold of. The apostles' doctrine is Jesus' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine is Jesus' doctrine. Because, stop and think about it. They were trained by Jesus for 3 years. They learned from Jesus. He taught them for 3 years. And then he told them, "I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to teach all nations, and I want you to teach them everything that I command you." So here's what the church was doing. They were intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine is Jesus' doctrine, or Jesus' teaching, Jesus' instruction. Now, here's another truth I want to add to that, is that Jesus' doctrine is God's doctrine. I want you to, if you have your Bible, go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, I want you to listen to what Jesus said in this passage in verse 17. Let's just start in verse 14. It says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.'" So I want you to notice, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So Jesus' doctrine, what he taught, was God's doctrine, his Father's doctrine. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." You know, I love that verse. I don't want to spend much time on verse 17, but I just want you to note something, that the apostles' doctrine, Jesus' doctrine, God's doctrine can only be learned when we do the will of God from the heart. He said, "If you will do, you will know." You know, a lot of people want to know, but they don't want to do. Listen, God is not going to teach you unless you are submitted to Him. Unless you are saved, number one, you have to be saved. And, you know, I was talking to one of my daughters yesterday, and I was asking her, you know, we were talking about her testimony of salvation when she's a kid and things like that. And so I asked her, I said, "I want to ask you something, because my daughter, or my kids, they grew up in church. And in every ministry I've been at, we didn't have children's church. My kids sat in church. And I remember my first church that I pastored in Dalhart, for example. And I just want to share the story. But Rachel was 4 years old. Becky was 3 years old. Jonathan was a baby. And so guess where Mom was? Mom would be in the nursery with Jonathan. And Rachel and Becky would sit on the first chairs in the first pew during church by themselves. Now, I had to teach them at home. I had to teach them very carefully at home so that they would act properly in church. Now, there were times they didn't. A lot of times they were not perfect. A lot of times they, right there in front of everybody, I'd have to get on to them. But, you know, they got a lot of loving when they got home when they didn't act rightly. But I was just curious, though, because I was thinking all these thoughts because of what we're having to do right now as a church. So I was like, "Hannah, I want to ask you, do you think growing up, because you didn't go to children's church, you went to Sunday school, but you didn't really go to children's church, you sat in adult service all your life growing up, I said, do you think you learned about the Bible and about the Lord?" I just wanted my own kids to tell me. And so she said, well, you know, when you talk about the Bible stories and stuff, she said, I could understand those. She said, but there are a lot of big things I couldn't understand, big concepts and big words. And she said, I didn't understand. She said, but Dad, when I got saved, it changed. She said, when I got saved, I could start understanding things. I could start piecing things together. It just floored me. I was like, really? And, you know, I was like, you know, that's what the Bible teaches. You know, sometimes when kids are in church, we can't expect them to sit and listen because they're not saved yet. So let's show some grace and patience. And, you know, I'm thankful for all the parents with kids here, by the way. Thank you. And I don't want you, by sharing that story, I don't want you to think I'm expecting perfection. I'm not. I mean, we love your kids and we want you to be in church. But I share that just by analogy to show that we cannot know His doctrine unless we are saved. And unless our hearts are given to Him. That's what Jesus said. And so the apostles' doctrine, what was it? It was Jesus' doctrine. It was God's doctrine. And you know, Jesus taught this doctrine to His apostles in word and deed. He taught it in word and deed. And then we have these apostles. They did what Jesus did. They went out and they taught in word and in deed. You know, if you look in Acts chapter 5 for just a moment. In Acts chapter 5. I want you to notice in verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So I want you to see here that the church, they were not assembled in some kind of building. And you know, when I was studying this passage, I got thinking about it. You know, for the most part, let's just stop and think, church. For the most part, our church is confined within the walls of this physical building. The early church, though there were times they were in homes, house to house, they were out there. Here they are in the temple, worshiping, preaching, teaching what Jesus taught them. And that's what Jesus did. That's what He did. It's pretty eye-opening to think about. And as you come down, you find that in verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. What happened was they were arrested for preaching there. And the next morning, they were not in prison. The angel opened the door and told them, go and preach the words of this life in the temple. And so there they were teaching the people. And then the captain, the officers brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the councils. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you? Let me turn my page. And you should not teach in His name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with, notice this, your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You know, they were teaching doctrine. Now, when he says your doctrine, what were they teaching? They were teaching Jesus' doctrine. They were teaching God's doctrine. So here, what I want you to see is that Jesus, He taught by word and deed, and this is what the apostles were doing. They were out there teaching by word and by deed all that Jesus had taught them. You know, what I want you to see about the early church is the early church clearly loved the Word of Christ and the Christ of the Word. They loved Him. And they taught what He had taught them. And you know what I found amazing? I did a word study on doctrine in the Gospels. I just followed every reference, and you can do this. And I found seven times when it referred to Jesus' doctrine. Seven times in the Gospels, it says that the people were astonished at His doctrine. Or they marveled at his doctrine, or they were amazed at his doctrine. And I want to give you an example. It's Luke 4:32, and it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You know, this is something to think about. Why were they astonished at that Jesus' doctrine? We're talking about his teaching, his instruction. Here he's in the synagogue and he's teaching, and they're astonished at what they're hearing. Well, I think the answer to that is found in that verse. They were astonished because his word was with power. It was with power. Why was it with power? Because it was God's doctrine. It wasn't his own that he was teaching. It was God, his Father's. And it came forth with power. And so the people were astonished. And you know what I also found when I was looking at doctrine, studying it through the New Testament? That it was also true of the apostles. I found several times that people were astonished at the apostles' doctrine, or at their teaching. In Acts 4:13, if you are in the book of Acts, and you look at chapter 4, you know, this, they are teaching in the temple again, the context, and they taught the people, they preach through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, verse 2. And verse 4 says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So think about that. They were teaching and preaching, and 5,000 were saved. And of course, the priests and all them came and took them and set them before council. And they asked them, verse 7, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people, the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now notice verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." They marveled. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And there's another verse in Acts 13:12 when Paul was preaching. "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." I just wanted you to see that, you know, what they were preaching was from God. What they were teaching was from God. It was with power. They were intently devoted to this. They were intently devoted to the Great Commission, to teaching all that Jesus had given them. Their whole heart was in it. They were dedicated to this. They were addicted to this. They did it on purpose. It was not just some casual routine coming together to meet. These people were devoted. And they were out there doing what Jesus wanted them to do. They were being the church. And so we find the church Jesus established, it was intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, or Jesus' doctrine. And to be the church Jesus intends us to be, we must be intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine. So what are we to be as a church? What are we to do? Well, we're to be intently devoted to the teachings of Jesus, to the instructions of the Lord. You know, Ephesians 2:20 says about the church that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So the New Testament church is built on the foundation of what? The apostles and the prophets. We're built upon the apostles' doctrine. Their doctrine, they laid the foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And guess what? We are very blessed today because we have a copy of the apostles' doctrine in the New Testament. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have it in the Scriptures right here in our Bibles. And so we are very blessed that we don't have to rely on apostles coming and speaking to us, but we have it in our Bibles. So being intently devoted to apostles' doctrine today, it doesn't mean we need to look for an apostle today to come and teach us. What it means is we need to go to the Bible and we need to find out what Jesus taught and we need to be devoted to that. And we need to believe it and practice it. You know, the apostles taught this. Paul taught this. 1 Timothy 4:13. I'm going to read off some verses. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'm going to read them fast. In 1 Timothy, I'm going to read three verses. 1 Timothy 4:13, this is what Paul told Timothy. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So he told Timothy, as a young pastor, be devoted to doctrine. Give attendance, that's the idea of being steadfast and giving attendance to something, remember? So he's telling Timothy, give attendance, be devoted to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And in 1 Timothy 4:16, just a few verses later, he tells Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So here he's telling Timothy, you need to take heed of yourself. Be very cautious that you watch yourself, but not just yourself, the doctrine. And continue in them, he says. Continue in the teaching. Continue in the instruction that has been given to you, that was first given by Christ. And it was passed down to the apostles to those they taught, and then as churches spread and those that were pastors and teachers and teaching, bringing this doctrine and passing it on down all through the centuries, generation after generation. So we need to take heed to the doctrine because it will save us from error. It will save us from going astray as well as those that hear us. You know, why is it that we need to give such great heed to that? Well, we'll come to that in just a minute. Look in 1 Timothy 5:17. This is another passage. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And so here Paul is saying that, you know, a pastor who labors in the word and doctrine is worthy of double honor. So you see what the Apostle Paul's doing? He's showing how important doctrine is. And we're talking about Jesus' doctrine here. We're talking about God's doctrine, the doctrine of the Word of God. He's saying it's so important we need to give ourselves to it. We had Tim read this morning 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. All Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all profitable for doctrine. You know, the apostles were intently devoted to what? The church was intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. And you read through Acts and you'll see many of their sermons are based on Old Testament Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So he told Timothy, preach the word. Preach it with doctrine. They were intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine. Why? Now let's come to that question. Why? Well, he answers that in 2 Timothy 4:3. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, we are living in those kind of days today. Every wind of doctrine out there. And I want to caution you, you know, because I know during these 3 months sabbatical, that we had from gathering as a church, you know, we listen to sermons online in our own church and others, and I don't have a problem with you listening to other preachers. I'm not jealous of that at all. But just be careful that you know who it is that's preaching, that they're preaching sound doctrine, because, you know, we can listen to things that can just lead us astray. And so we have to preach and teach doctrine. And so you can see how important it is for Jesus' church to be devoted to the apostles' doctrine. In fact, you know, I believe continuing in the doctrine of Christ, continuing in the apostles' doctrine is a fruit of a true disciple. You know what Jesus said in John 8:31 to the Jews that believed on Him? He said, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." That's pretty sobering to think about that question. Are we His disciple indeed? Are we? He said, "If you continue in My Word, you're My disciples indeed." We're not talking salvation here. I'm talking about a disciple, a follower of Christ. I'm talking about someone that we, if you're saved, you're called to be His disciple. As a church, we should be intently devoted to following Christ, to continuing in His Word. But before we pride ourselves this morning on being intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, because I know as Baptists we pride ourselves on preaching the Word and sticking by the stuff and all those things. But before we pride ourselves on that, I want you to know that the apostles' doctrine, what it's talking about here, it means much more than just listening to doctrine. Did you hear that? Are you listening? It means much more than just listening to doctrine. We're very good at that. We're very good at coming to church and sitting and listening to doctrine. We're good at sitting and listening to preaching. We're good at going to Sunday school class and listening to our Sunday school teacher teach doctrine. We're good at that. But I want you to understand what these apostles were devoted to. They were not just devoted to listening. Because recall how Jesus taught His disciples in word and deed. It's not just listening that's involved here. I want to give you an example. You remember, well, let's just turn to Luke 11. I want you to see it with your own eyes. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke 11. And look at that first verse in Luke chapter 11. "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of his disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And He went on and He gave them a model prayer to pray. Now, what I want you to notice something here is that Jesus was practicing something. He was modeling something. Before He taught them about the doctrine of prayer, before He taught them how to pray, He showed them. He modeled it. I mean, they were with Him. They were watching this as He was praying. Then they, when He was done praying, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So I want you to understand that being intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine is much more than you just sitting and listening to doctrine. It's more than just soaking in doctrine and putting doctrine into our minds and our hearts. It's much more now. It's living what He taught. And it's modeling what He taught. I think of another example would be Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." Now, this is pretty tough doctrine right here. This is tough doctrine. Think about it. He said, if you're going to follow Me, He's telling His disciples, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to deny yourself. And you're going to have to take up your cross. You know, a cross is an instrument of death. It's like you completely deny your aspirations, your desires, what you want to do. You lay all that aside and you follow Jesus, intently focused on Him, what He wants to do. And if it even means death on a cross. Boy, that's tough doctrine, but I want you to know that Jesus modeled it. He modeled it with His life. Stop and think about it. He left heaven. He left His glory. He left all that. He denied Himself. He came into this world as made flesh. Took upon Himself the form of a servant. Even though He was a king, He became a servant even unto the death of the cross. Jesus modeled that. His whole life was sacrificial. Denying Himself. You read through the Gospels, you see how often He says, "This is not my doctrine, it's my Father's. I'm not doing my will, I'm doing my Father's will." He constantly modeled that life to His disciples. It's not about my will. It's not about doing what I want. It's about my Father's will, doing His will. And then He's teaching the disciples that by word, after having lived it before them. And so, being intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, it goes where the rubber meets the road. It's more than just sitting and listening to preaching. It's more than just listening to sermons online or podcasts. It's being devoted to Christ and His teachings and following Him, following His teachings, modeling those teachings. Fathers, if you really want to make an impact on your children, you need to model it. That's the hardest job we have. To model it. It's easy to teach. You know, it's easy for us to just teach our kids, don't do this, do this. It's easy to teach them you need to love Jesus. It's easy to teach them you need to read your Bible every day. You need to pray every day. You need to witness. But you know what? Those little eyes are watching to see if you are doing those things. Are you praying every day? Do they see that? Are you reading your Bible? Are they seeing that? Are you sharing Christ with people? You may be out at the park with your kids and some family comes over and you start witnessing to them. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, how can you say to your kids, you need to be a witness? You need to love Jesus. What I'm saying is that they were intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, meaning that they not only were devoted to the teaching, but they were devoted to practicing and modeling that. You remember we read in Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled because they had took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:10, "For thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." So he said, you know my teaching. But he didn't stop there. You know my manner of life. You know my purpose. You know my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You see, Paul modeled it. He said, you've known these things. You've seen me. You've watched me. You've listened to me. You've sat under my preaching and my teaching. You've watched my life on a daily basis. See, these apostles, they did what Jesus did. They were devoted to teaching His doctrine in word and in deed. He said in Titus, I'm going to stop with these. Titus 2:7, "All things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Verse 10, "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." So he says what? To adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Adorn, what does that mean? It's like putting on clothes. He said, you know, you need to practice the doctrine of God our Savior so people can see it. And so we're not just to preach the gospel. We're not just to teach the gospel. We're to show the gospel. Don't just share the gospel, show it. Show it by your devotion to Christ. You know, none of us are going to model a perfect life, but we can model a devoted life to Christ. We can model a redemption, a life that's been redeemed and still growing in Christ. But that's what we should do. We are to be the church. And listen, if we would be the church, and this is the first one we're looking at, if we would just be this, intently devoted with all of our heart to the apostles' teaching, to Jesus' doctrine, not only to listening in it and learning and growing in it, but practicing it, living it, modeling it. Listen, if we will be the church, the Lord will add to His church. He will add to His church. You know, the ultimate purpose of preaching the apostles' doctrine, the ultimate purpose I have here preaching to you this morning, is not just to give you information. The ultimate purpose is transformation. For you to take the Word of God and let it take root in your heart, to yield your life to it, to be devoted to it, and let it transform your life, to mold you and make you to be like Jesus. I want you to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to have an invitation. And as you stand with your heads bowed, I just want to say this before I pray. At the very center of the apostles' doctrine is the gospel. You read through Acts, they preach the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. They preach there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. They preach that doctrine of salvation. They preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach His resurrection. If you're here today and you have not embraced Christ by faith, if you have not come to Him acknowledging your sin, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, now would be a great time to do that. Christ is waiting for you. You know, that's one of my favorite doctrines in the Bible, is the doctrine of salvation. Because that's where it all begins. You can't know the other doctrines until you know this doctrine, that Christ is your Lord and His your Savior, that you've yielded your heart to Him. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example of our Savior Jesus, the example of the apostles' teaching that we have in the New Testament. Lord, how they were intently devoted to what You taught them. They were devoted to teaching all nations, teaching them all things that You commanded. Lord, help us to be devoted to that. Lord, we need to be the church. Church don't need to be just a routine weekly meeting that we come together and just sit and listen to a sermon, or we sit and listen to a Bible message. Lord, it goes beyond that. It should transform our lives. We should take it with us as we go into our community and be the church. To show people Christ. Be the body of Christ. Be the voice of Christ in our world. To hold forth the word of life in this crooked and perverse nation which we're living today. Lord, help us as a church. Help us to be intently devoted to the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, their example, their model. Lord, help us to be that kind of church. And Lord, I pray for someone here that does not know Christ, that does not know that they're saved. I pray, Lord, Your Holy Spirit would call them to come to Christ. And Lord, today they would confess Him as their Lord and Savior. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said,